Hello, I'm Dan Graber, the pastor of North Star Mennonite Church in Drake, Saskatchewan. We're in a small town out in the country. Everyone's busy with harvesting. Most of our people are involved with harvesting in some form or another. I hope this service and theme blesses you. Hear the call to worship. Oh, this is for September 20th weekend. Give thanks to the Lord. We call on God's name and make known God's wonderful works. Seek the Lord continually. We watch and listen for signs of God's grace. Together, let us worship God. Let us rejoice in God's presence and praise God's holy name. Let us pray. Loving God, compassionate Son, healing Spirit, you meet us in so many places and in so many different ways. When our need is deep and we long for you, and when we think we can manage on our own, you draw near to us in kindness. Regardless of our state or condition, you turn weeping into laughter, sorrow into joy, death into life. You speak a word of challenge and a word of comfort to draw us to you. In gratitude, we come to you this day to seek your word for us, to enjoy your gift of life in its fullness, and to marvel again at your amazing grace. Receive our prayers and our prayers this day, offered in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen. In the sermon, there won't be scripture read separate from the sermon. It'll be woven in and out of the sermon. So I hope doing it that way, particularly for this theme and the way the sermon got put together, I hope communicates. As you know, we've been studying the concept of grace over the last several months. We reminded ourselves that God courts us. He woos us. He has plans to become friends with us even before we know about him. He wants our yes. God wants us to accept his grace. We call this conversion, but we realize that conversion is a process where we need to keep converting throughout our lives. God meets us at conversion and then keeps meeting us at conversion points all life long. Acceptance of God's grace means change, adjusting, staying on God's tracks. We know the Creator hurls our sins into the ocean. Yahweh forgives us. The Almighty puts our sins behind his back. His blood blots out our wrong actions, our wrong words, and our wrong thoughts. God in Jesus makes us without blemish. This is grace. God's wonderful, marvelous, awesome, loving grace. We also looked at the many ways God touches us with grace. There are formal ways and informal ways. There are more ways than we can count. God loves us in more ways than we even realize. Our Savior provides many life-giving, life-sustaining, and life-energizing moments where he breaks through to us and basically gives us a big hug. We looked at how God stoops to us and how we are to stoop. We also took a look at ourselves and tried to see why we have a hard time accepting God's grace. We feel we have to earn it. We think there is some catch in something that is free. We think we have to bargain. We also discovered that there are many obstacles to grace, and often we are the ones who put up the obstacles. We are the ones who get in the way of receiving God's love. You could say we shoot ourselves in the foot, so to speak. But God loves us anyway. It almost seems that the more we get in the way of God's grace, the more God finds ways to reach us, convict us, help us, and love us. I think that was one of the things we learned with some of the testimonies I shared as parts of sermons in the past. God's steadfast love endures forever and ever and ever. Today, let's take a look at another aspect of God's grace. God didn't just send his Son to save us from sin. God didn't just set it up so we could be friends with him. God also keeps working with us. He keeps trying to perfect us. This is called sanctifying grace. Sanctifying grace is the work of the Holy Spirit, perfecting us in our response to the relationship the Almighty offers us. God has gotten our attention, and in sanctifying grace, we are seeking ways where we can give God our undivided attention. Sanctifying grace is the equipping process of our maturing into authentic discipleship. It is growing in grace. It is a process where we exchange cheap grace for costly grace. It is a process of understanding more and more the gift God has given us. We put ourselves on the line and take a stance on the issues in the name of God. We find that we have Holy Spirit power as we battle temptations. We do good works. We witness. This is our response to the love we experience. Sanctifying grace is a journey toward wholeness that is made possible by the Holy Spirit. We have talked about the courtship of God. We have looked at the wedding with God. Sanctifying grace is the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer between conversion and death. Sanctifying grace is a marriage relationship between us and God. Romans 8:12-17 tells us,
"So then, brothers and sisters, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. Then you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption. When we cry, 'Abba, Father,' it is that very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if, in fact, we suffer with him so that we may be also glorified with him."
God, in his grace, adopts us as his children. This allows God to work with us as a parent who trains their children. This is a rich image. It tells us that we have a relationship with God. It tells us the Creator loves us like a parent who cares for, helps, nurtures, feeds, and teaches. Plus, learning from God is a lifelong process. Part of this process of grace is the work of the Spirit rooting out sin in our lives. 1 John 4:10 tells us,
"In this is love, not that we loved God, but that God loved us and sent God's Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins."
In a very real sense, sanctifying grace is like two stacks of books. So I invite you to imagine two stacks. Imagine one stack represents my good points and the other my bad points. And I would invite you to imagine your bad points being that stack being tall. They represent my strengths and my weaknesses. They represent my sins and my victories over sins. As I mature, learn, and grow, the stack of books representing my sins become smaller and my victories increase. As I develop in the Christian life, my mistakes become less costly, and my good points, my victories, become greater. As I grow in Jesus Christ, my faults become less my focus, and the will of God becomes more my focus. As I grow in God's grace, my bad habits get put on the altar in front of God, as I recognize my own need for change and for help. And the Almighty moves them off the sin stack onto the other stack of victories. Sanctifying grace is a process of maturing in the Christian life. God not only roots out the bad habits, the negative personality traits, and our destructive attitudes, they are replaced with God's ways. So God not only seeks us out and saves us, he wants to help us become better people. John 14:12 tells us,
"Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and, in fact, will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father."
Now, this is radical. Jesus said that his grace moves us from being sinners to being people of saints, people of faith, to being saints who do God's work. So sanctifying grace is that work of God in us that roots out sins and helps us to represent Jesus. We could say, unless the grace we are offered and then receive is not taken in, ingested, and changes us, and then shared with others, we just are not living in the Christian life. Remember, the Bible starts with the fact that we are created in the image of God. So sanctifying grace is the work of God in us to help restore us to our original righteousness. That's why the sermon title is Restoration in God's Image. The story of salvation is restoration. God has made us in his image and he wants us back as we were. Isn't this exciting? Holy God not only chases after us and provides a way we can be friends with him, Almighty God stoops to us and shows us how we are to stoop. Even more, our Creator then works in us to make us all we can be as he originally intended. Stop for a moment and think about this. So often I think we just pass over this. We talk about maturing in the Christian faith, in the Christian life, but often it is in the language of, I need to do this better, and I have to stop doing this, and so on. That's all true. But grace is God working in us so we can relate better with the Creator. Grace is restoring us to a state of being we have never experienced. God does the work to make us better people. Grace is God trying to make us sinless. Grace is God turning us into holy people without fault or blemish. It is easy to think that this is impossible. It is, on our own strength, knowledge, and willpower. Just considering the times you've tried to diet or the times you've tried to stop a habit. It's hard, and it may or may not work, depending on who we are and what the habit is. And we so often get in the way of God working in our own lives. We set up an obstacle course that God has to overcome. And the amazing thing is, the Almighty does. The wonderful thing is that despite our sins and our getting in the way of our own best interests, we do mature, grow in grace, and become holy. It's because our Creator touches us with grace. Almighty God not only offers us grace, but the grace perfects us. Sanctifying grace is practical. It empowers us for living. As part of the sanctifying process, we are convinced by God that we are pardoned. Our sins really are forgiven. We really are loved. This is not just intellectual knowledge. This is not just an emotional feeling. We just know. Our head knows it. Our teary eyes know it. Our gut knows it. Our feet know it. Sometimes we may doubt, but as we mature, we get to know every waking and every sleeping moment. God pardoned us. Our inner spirit and soul knows it. And we can even boast about what God has done. Another way sanctifying grace empowers us for life is that we find purpose. We strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Can we say with the Apostle Paul, 2 Timothy 1, 8-14?
Do not be ashamed then of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel, relying on the power of God, who saves us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to God's own purpose and grace. For this gospel I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher, and for this reason I suffer as I do. But I am not ashamed, for I know the one in whom I have put my trust, and I am sure that God is able to guard until that day what I have entrusted to him. Guard the good treasure entrusted to you with the help of the Holy Spirit living in us.
As we grow in Christ, our purpose for living becomes clear to those around us and clearer to ourselves. Sanctifying grace gives us power to live and to stick to our purpose. 1 Corinthians 10:13 tells us,
no testing has overtaken you that is not common to everyone. God is faithful, and God will not let you be tested beyond your strength. But with the testing, God will also provide the way out, so you may be able to endure it.
God doesn't just ask us to follow, and then let us do our own thing, or hang us out to dry, or leave us on our own. Our Savior stays with us, and his grace empowers us through the Holy Spirit. God's grace also gives us peace despite what is going on around us and even in us. Jesus promised us the Comforter and told us, John 14:27,
peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid.
Jesus knows life is difficult. Jesus knows a Christian life is difficult. But our Savior's grace fills us with peace. Grace helps us set our minds on the Holy Spirit and the things of the Spirit. We find joy. We find love. We are filled with our Creator's characteristics so that we can find life to the fullest while we are being perfected. Sanctifying grace helps us to have a right relationship with God, and it helps us grow in right relationships. The right relationship to have with God is like the analogy of the vine and the branches. Let's look at John 15, verses 1 to 17. Notice, as this passage is read, all that Jesus does for us to restore us to our Creator's image. Notice how our relationship with Jesus is described.
I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does not bear fruit he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give to you. This is my command: love each other.
In the bulletin are a series of questions. I'm not going to read them here. Please look over them this week as you ask yourself, are you maturing, sprouting, learning, becoming more Christ-like, growing wiser, and being restored into God's image? You may want to ask yourself other questions that help you focus specifically on yourself. Only you can answer these questions. But if you cannot see progress in your life, I encourage you to ask God to change you. God wants to. Jesus wants sanctifying grace to fill us to the brim. Maturity in the life of grace begins by us discipling ourselves or disciplining ourselves to be available to the Holy Spirit. We open ourselves to God. Here is one image of how God operates in sanctifying grace. We operate in this paradox. The harder we try at times, it seems, the less we become mature. The harder we try to change, the more difficult it seems. But the more we let God lead us, the more God can change us. Imagine being in a car. Before conversion, I am driving the car. At conversion, I let Jesus get in the front seat beside me. Sometimes we just let him in the back seat. I tend to go where my Creator wants me to go, but often go my own way. I get to arguing with God. But then as I realize a little more what God's grace really is, I let Jesus drive. For a while, I just let Jesus go where he wants to. But then I start resisting. I don't want to do that. I've never done that before. You can't be serious. I have to stop this. So I put my hands on the wheel. I don't want to go that way, God. Or I put my foot on the brake. No way can I go there. However, the Holy Spirit is patient with me. Eventually, as I mature, I learn that my place is in the back seat. I let God be in control instead of trying to take control and keep control. This is a sanctification process, the spiritual maturation process. But then I backseat drive. I give directions to God. When God is taking me east, I tell him I want to go south. And then when the car stops, I make sure I get the keys. But eventually, I realize that I can trust the Holy Spirit's leading. I let her keep the keys. I discover that the Almighty has a real gift to fixing the dents, maintaining the motor, improving the electronics, and keeping the upholstery clean. And even more, our Creator's wax job is out of this world. I may even come to the time where I just lay down in the back seat. My trust in this grace gets to the point I don't worry where God is going, or how slow or fast we are traveling, or who we will meet, or what the Creator wants me to do. I just stretch out in the back seat and relax. Life is peaceful and joyful, even if we are in the middle of a tornado. In a sense, sanctifying grace is learning to stop driving and let Jesus drive our lives. It is learning to lay out in the back seat and relax as we respond to the Holy Spirit's directives. The harder we try to be perfect, usually the less perfect we become. Conversely, the more we rest in God's grace that heals us, encourages us, empowers us, and gives us purpose, the more we mature. I believe that saints are real. I believe I can testify that I've met a number and heard of and read of more. They are not perfect people, but they are people who let God change each attitude, each habit, and each sin one at a time to God's way. A Christian is one who bears fruit. A follower of Jesus is one who keeps maturing and becomes wiser. A follower of Jesus is one who is being restored into God's image. Almighty God wants to pour out his grace on us in this way. Let's allow God to do just that. Today is a good day to take another step toward a fuller life in Jesus Christ. It's a good day to let God's grace fill us again. Let's bow in wonder and awe at how much God loves us. Now, I invite you to take in the words of one of my favorite songs. It's called The Spirit Song by the Maranatha Singers. I believe John Wimber wrote it. We're going to try to do something I haven't done before. I want to play it on the other computer, and you have the information. If you can't really hear it, you can look it up. Please dwell in these words.
I mean, three.
Oh, give me more.
Been a favorite of mine, and I think it captures in a very good way our theme today. Before we move into prayers, just one announcement, or two actually. As we opened our in-house worship last Sunday, it went well, and I thought, and we continue to coordinate with Prairie Light Christian Fellowship, who uses our sanctuary in the afternoon. Also, I'd just like to remind us that, you know, we are part of Mennonite Church Saskatchewan Conference, and they offer a variety of services directly, and they are our lifeline, so to speak, to a number of other services and ministries, including missionaries that we could support. So please remember to give to them. They also, you know, have three camps and restorative justice ministries of, I think, at least three types. And so please remember them. Let's pray. God of hope, when the world is bleak and dim, you pierce the shadows with light. You help us see new paths and possibilities. For hope in times of despair, for clarity when we felt confused, for a way forward when we thought all was lost, we give you thanks. We pray today for those who feel hopeless, for those who are sick or dying, for those who mourn, and for those weighed down by heavy burdens. May each of us know and share your gift of hope. God of peace, all around us there is conflict. In our world, our communities, our families, even our closest relationships. We thank you for steps toward reconciliation in our lives, our communities, and among peoples of different cultures and histories. We pray today for places where pain, violence, and cruelty seem to have the upper hand. May each of us know and share your gift of peace. God of joy, we give you thanks for moments of delight and occasions of celebration, for happy gatherings, gentle solitude, pleasure given and received, for laughter, friendship, and love. We remember those who do not taste such joy, those who are lonely or bitter, hurt or difficult to love. May each of us know and share your gift of joy. God of love, in Jesus Christ, your love was born in a human life. Jesus was rooted in a particular family, yet his love stretched far beyond to include outsiders and those rejected by others. We are so grateful to be part of his circle. We pray for our families, those closest to us, or anyone estranged. We pray for friends and our acquaintances, strangers, for those very different from ourselves, and even for our enemies. We pray for government leaders, especially those who are misfunctioning. We pray for the many, many, many refugees around the world. We pray for those who are affected by natural disasters, like the floods in Sudan, the fires in California and Siberia. And we remember everyone who is suffering. And we all can name individuals we know and situations around the world, where life is confusing, troubling, sin, there's lots of violence. Help us draw our circles of affection wider, seeing our kinship with all people. May each of us know and share your gift of love. Hear us now as we pray in silence for those who have come to mind this day. And to close our prayer time, may we offer this prayer together. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is offense, let me sow love. Where there is discord, let me sow union. Where there is doubt, let me sow truth. Where there is despair, let me sow hope. Where there is darkness, let bring your light. Where there is sadness, let me bring joy. O divine master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in self-forgetting that we find, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. In Jesus' name, amen. As we go out to serve, I offer you this blessing. May the beauty of God be reflected in your eyes, the love of God be reflected in your hands, the wisdom of God be reflected in your words, and the knowledge of God flow from your heart, that all might see and seeing believe. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. Lord be with all of you. Grace and mercy and peace from God the Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. The Lord be with your spirit. Grace be with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Go and have a blessed week.